I've been moving calm, don't start no trouble with me. Trying to keep it peaceful is a struggle for me. Don't pull up at 6 a.m.
Anything you guys want in the store is free, so grab whatever you guys want.
I don't wanna die for them to miss me. Yes, I see the things that they wishing on me. Hope I got some brothers that outlive me. Ain't gon' tell the story, shit was different with me. God's plan, God's plan.
Welcome back, Pinball Nerds, to episode 500 of your fifth favorite pinball podcast. My name is Orbital Albert, and on today's show, I'm very excited. I don't have Craig Bobby here now today. I thought it'd be really cool. I haven't even nailed down a time with Craig Bobby yet, so I thought it'd be really, really cool to save that for my first episode over on the Poor Man's Pinball Network, so make sure you have liked and subbed to me there. I'm still going to use this channel for updates or periodically if I have something that's... I have to speak with the poor man. I'm not sure what the turnaround time is after I submit a podcast, but if it's something very timely or relevant, I might do mini updates on here. I also might do teasers on here. And who knows? I've already been kicked off of one network, so I might get kicked off another. Who knows? I could always come back here. And I, you know, that's not my plan. That's not my God's plan, okay? But I'm just letting you know it could happen. You never know with Orby. He's a little... unhinged. But you already knew that because you're here listening to the Pinball Nerds podcast. So today we're here to talk about Toy Story, and I couldn't think really of, like, you know, JJP's newest game. They only release a game every couple years. So this is a momentous time, and it's going to be fun for episode 500. I did try to take a good amount of time to write this episode a little bit longer than typically because I want to make it a little bit better for you guys, especially if this is my last, you know, full podcast possibly ever right here through the Pinball Nerds Podcast Network, the network of one. All right, so let's get into it. I've done five rad and one bad about, that's right, Toy Story, which came out today. Now, I will admit when I first watched the video, I was a little spicy. I was being a little bit rude, a little bit mean, a little bit of a negative Nancy, a little bit of a Debbie Downer. I've done some meditation. I may have used some very legal... devil's lettuce to help get me in the right mood and mode. And I really had to step back and I had to think about Toy Story without all the hype behind it, without everyone talking about how good it's supposed to be. I'm not going to lie to you guys, theme-wise, it's not my absolute favorite. I did enjoy watching Toy Story 1 and Toy Story 2 with my son, Hayden, when he was very young, who we just actually, I'm late getting this podcast out because we had his it's not like a graduation ceremony, but it's like his sports banquet for the year. And he won lots of awards, which was awesome. Congratulations, Hayden. Ended up getting sixth place in the entire province in the 200 meter, getting a 23 seconds flat and 11th place in long jump. Congratulations to Owen, who also won a couple awards tonight and made it to provincials for his softball team, as well as doing very, very well in badminton, soccer, and basketball. So congratulations to both of them. Owen was the only person in the entire school to, they bring you up, like, you know, if you were in one sport, you go up first and everyone claps. If you're in two sports, Hayden was in four and Owen was in six. So he got to go up all by himself, and they did a nice little speech about him, which I got to record. Hopefully going to throw that up to Facebook soon. Got to get the approval from the son. You know, as a dad, once you have kids that are teenagers, you got to get that approval from the kids before you can put anything on social media, whether or not you're allowed to tag them or not, all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to talk about it tomorrow. Because when we came home, I wanted to do my podcast to get ready for Jonathan Hall's, Jay Hall Sucks at Pinball on Twitch, is having like a poor man's pinball round table about Toy Story, but I came home and my power was out, so I couldn't do my podcast. So I was a little delayed, but without further ado, and go watch that tonight if you're hearing this the night of, let me see the date, Tuesday, June 14th. Sorry, I'm a little disheveled because the power just came on. I literally have half an hour to record this and get it up before I have to jump into that Zoom on the round table, which I'm very excited about. But don't worry, I'm sure you can go back and watch it on the Twitch channel. It's going to be really interesting. We're going to have a couple of the Poor Man's Pinball Tribe members in there with Jonathan Hall himself, who recently co-hosted with Drew, of course, on the Poor Man's Pinball Podcast. So that's going to be fun. But for right now, let's talk about it. Number one. Now, I know what you're thinking. How the heck could you do five rad and one bad on this? Everyone else is just talking about the bad. Well, that's where I want to be different. And I want to do constructive criticism. But at the same time, I want to start by a round of applause. I'm going in a big circle here. Okay. A round of applause for everybody who worked on this over at JJP. Because I'll tell you one thing. The most important thing is in pinball that when you give money to the company, you know you're actually going to get the product. And with tons of these smaller companies, it's like, maybe you might get it. You probably will, but you might not, but you could, but you might. With Jersey Jack, you're going to get your machine. That's by far the most important thing. Number two, they seem to have pretty good customer service. Sometimes if you get a playfield issue, which I still think the percentages are very low there, maybe a little higher than Stern's from what we've seen, but we don't have any numbers, and numbers don't lie. So I would like to see the numbers. Like if there was, you know, 1,000 JJP machines went out and there was only two or three that had playfield issues, then that's not bad at all. That's probably better than the norm for most companies. But of course, you know, if the percentage was high, it's something I would really genuinely be concerned about. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. Let's talk about the five rad things. And there was a lot of things that were rad. There was some things, especially at first, where I was shaking my head. But I'm going to save that to the one bad thing at the end, because I want to thank the God himself, Mr. Pat Lawler. Okay, the God, let's be honest, he is a pinball God. He maybe is not the pinball God, but he is a pinball God. And that's, you know, that's from Ghostbusters, but that's also from Orbital Albert telling you about Pat Lawler. Okay, so him with Steve Ritchie, they are really the two main godfathers of pinball. And you never know what's in God's plan. That's why I played a little bit of Drake there at the start, okay? Because I think he knows better than most people analyzing what happened. I listened to some podcasts on it today, listened to some people talk about it. I read almost everything on Pinside up to 3 hours ago before I had to go to the banquet. And I'm telling you right now, most people are just being too negative Nancy's and Debbie Downers. And why are they doing that? Because it's so easy to be negative or rude about a new pin. It just is. It's easier to pick things apart. In your life, when you're out at a store or you're having a meal, it's much easier to make fun of someone's clothing, how they look different or they dress different or how they have their hairstyle, or why would you wear your pajamas to Walmart? Oh, because you're at Walmart and that's how everyone dresses. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I used to have a big problem when I would see especially pregnant women, very pregnant women, chugging fucking ciggies or even, God forbid, having a beer. And I would just go right up to them and be like, why are you doing that to your body? Like, my mom, it was the 70s. My mom didn't know better. When you went to the doctor's office, the freaking doctor would pass you a cigarette and like smoke it with you, right? Like, it was just a different time back then. But it's not up to me to judge. It's not up to me to go tell people if they're doing something wrong, right? So at the same time, I want to thank each and every single person at Jersey Jack for all their hard work. I don't know if it's their biggest home run ever. I don't. But I think that it is a very solid effort, and the amount of negativeness and the amount of negative Nancy's and Debbie Downers that are coming out of the woodwork on this machine is just not fair. Especially the people saying that it should have been Toy Story 1. No brand, especially not a brand as big as Disney, is gonna let you go back and do Toy Story 1 when they just came out with number 4, right? It's just not gonna happen. Yes, it would have been cool if Etch-a-Sketch was in there, or Slinky Dog or something like that. You know what I mean? Or Mr. Potato Head. Come on. How are you going to get, you know, you got it. Is it Norm from Cheers? One of the dudes from Cheers. That would be really cool. But they still did a lot of awesome other stuff. And I want to go talk about that, because these are the things people aren't talking about, how cool some of the stuff is. So let's get underway. Number one is the mechs. I don't care what anyone says. And it's not just because it's called the I Can Canada ramp or whatever it is, or Yes I Canada ramp. I haven't seen Toy Story 4, so I don't know about this Canadian character, but he seems like a character. Apparently some type of like, well, I was going to say Houdini, but there's a guy who rides the motorbikes who like does this. Evel Knievel. He's some type of Evel Knievel, but he misses apparently very often, but once in a while he gets one through. And that is like this ramp. You guys know I'm a skateboarder, a scoobier, as they used to call us, an inline rollerblader. GT snow racer, snowboarder, skier, mini skier, like anything, skidoos, quad runners. Like, I'm trying to think of everything I've gone over ramps and frick, even cars sometimes. Don't tell anybody, but that's how you wreck a car. More so speed bumps and ramps on a car, but you know what I'm saying? Jeff and Pete back in the day, they'll know what I'm talking about in the good old STA parking lot, trying to get some air off those front tires. But anything that has a ramp, I love ramps. And I get what people were saying, that the ramp could cause some damage to the machine. It might not be the best thing for the machine. Maybe so, but I can probably never afford a JJP. So it's not a problem I'll ever personally deal with. For me personally, I feel like that seems weird, because I remember, like, every time I went to the mall in grade 7 and grade 8, White Oaks Mall, shout out to all the Londoners, Monday Night Pinballers, the Loppolers, shout out to all of you, especially the ones I'm hoping to see at Yegpin if I can somehow freaking afford that bastard. But I would go and play this pitch and bat, okay? And every single time it would go, you know, and you know what a pitch and bat is, like a pinball machine where you just do, it's got the three different pitches and you hit it with the bat. If you don't know, go Google it. I can't believe you're listening. You're this nerdy about pinball. You don't want to pitch and bat is. But anyways, after you got like two runs in or whatever, they would put up this ramp. The ramp would come up and you'd hit the ball and it'd smash around the whole machine. That was the point. And this was happening like constantly in the game, right? So, I mean, obviously if in the 1950s and 1960s and 1970s, when they were making pitch and bats that had these ramps on it that jumped up, and they could figure out how to do it without it breaking down. And I don't think anyone ever serviced that pitch and bat in the good old athlete's world, which is like the Canadian version of Foot Locker. It just sat there. I don't think there was a guy coming and fixing it all the time. You would win something weird when you won. I don't know if it was like gum or like maybe baseball cards. Maybe you won baseball cards. Anyways, I love that ramp. I like that the ramp is down most of the time. And for everyone who says, oh, there's not enough ramps in the game, well, that's like the coolest freaking ramp you could have in a game. I don't know. Okay, the 180 ramp on Avengers is also a pretty cool ramp, but this ramp that shoots up and even then you've got to just nail that shot, kind of like having to nail the Demogorgon shot, I'm assuming, on Stranger Things. You've just got to really nail the shot in the center of that ramp, A, to miss those two poles that are like the ouchy poles. And then, you know, they put up these two poles come up when the ramp comes up on either side of it. I'm assuming to stop extra air balls, but I have no clue. Maybe in the code, the first time that, you know, that you get the ramp, the I Love Canada ramp. I'm going to call it that. I don't know if that's what it is. Something to do about Canada and something. So, you know, maybe those come up sometimes and maybe they don't. But if you can hit it through that hole, wow. Like you're just going to feel like a rock star every time you can take this little ball, hit it off of a flipper, hit it so precisely off of that ramp that just popped up, probably only for a short period of time, and get it to go through there, then go up there and go through the, I'm calling it the starfish hole. I don't remember what it's called. I'm not trying to do you any respect, Mr. Pat Lawler. You know you're a god. I know you're a god. You know you're a god. You are a god. You're not the god. You're a god, Pat Lawler, but you are a god, okay? So I'm telling you right now, that is a cool freaking mech. We've got too spoiled in the pinball industry. If you don't think that's a rad mech, I'm sorry. I got to disagree, but it's not just that mech. I'm also a sucker for spinning discs. Every game that has a spinning disc, I'm a sucker for it. And that spinning disc seems to be implemented a little different, that it's also like a Wheel of Fortune wheel that whatever it stops on. So it's got that added bonus. It looks rad AF under all those lights coming down. So it looks really, really, really cool. And I didn't even add this in one of my five, but the freaking light show, give me a break. The light show is incredible. The hot rails are back. It looks great, but that didn't even make it into the top five here. So there's the spinning disc. There's a couple other smaller mechs, but mostly I think the spinning disc and the O Canada ramp are the main ones, right? So it's just incredible. Okay, number two, let's move on here. Oh my gosh, we're going to run out of time. Got to get in there for Jay Hall Sucks at Pinball. Okay, so number two, the shots have more freaking flow. I'm not going to say the Niagara Falls, but probably more flow than even Orbeez honey. No, my honey flows really slowly because it's very, I've heard a lot of the pinball nerds out there talking about their chicken nuggies. They love their chicken nuggies. Wait till you dip your chicken nuggies into some wildflower honey. I can't send this stuff to the States. I could get in trouble. We tried to send some to Danielle's sister in France, and they sent back the whole package and we got in trouble. You can't send honey across borders because of whatever. But you live here in Canada, or when I come to Yegpin, I'm gonna sneak some in. I'm going to go buy a big 20-pack of chicken nuggies for everybody. I'm going to make every pinball nerd out there. You'll get a free nuggie with the asterisk. You got to dip in some Orbeez honey because it may not have that much flow, but chef's mother freaking kiss. You will never, ever, ever be ever. Ever be able to eat a chicken nuggie without having it with beautiful honey ever again in your life. It'll be game over for you having crappy honey from McDonald's. You have to go get the good stuff now and bring it in your pocket. That's what I do with maple syrup when I go to different places and say, people look at me weird. You pull maple syrup out of your pocket or cheese. I was called cheese pocket for a while. I like to have good cheese on me in case the burger joints don't got no good cheese. I like to have good honey on me. I like to have good, you know, I like to have the good stuff. I'm sorry. I will eat a McNuggie, but I will not eat it with whatever that God forbid stuff is they call honey simulated flavor made in a factory with artificial fragrances. Anyways, I've gone off topic, but what else would you think on episode 500? 500 episodes is so crazy. All right. So the shots have a lot of flow. Now the ramps do look fairly wide and open other than, you know, the Ocanda one, but the other one or ones or one at the back with the little flipper. I do like that there's three flippers. That didn't quite make the list because it's a mini flip. And I feel like you only get less shots with a mini flipper than a full flipper. And you know, I still think that it has a lot of flow, really great shots. For those of you that say that, oh no, he's the stop and go master and there's not a lot of flow. I owned Roller Coaster Tycoon. And when you got into a good flow on that game, you could just go and go and go and go. Like you rarely had to shoot it in the scoop. You rarely had to shoot it up to the weird thing on the left that slowed it down. And you could just get, and this reminded me of that. Like it looks like once you knew what you were doing, it looks like it's friendly to everybody. But once you got into a good flow on this bad boy, it would go. And I mean, probably in my guess, better than probably better. When I was looking at it, it looked like it had way, way, way less stop and go than Wonka, which I think is a very good sign. And it also looked like it had way better flow than Dialed In, which has a lot of stop and go, has that little dude on the stick that's going through there that slows down the flow quite a bit. It looked like, I'm not going to say it is the God or a God, Pat Lawler's masterpiece. You know, I'm not going to say that because I haven't shot it yet. These are just first impressions. Everyone's like, whoa, slow down on your horsies before you get mad at me. It's like, I haven't played it yet, but no one else who's talking about it or writing about it has either. These are just my first impressions, but it looks to me like it has more flow than Pat Lawler's last couple games combined. I'm serious. Okay, number three on this list, and I was iffy about adding this, so I kind of squished two little ones together here, okay? But the animations. The animations are by far the best I've ever seen on JJP. By far. And I was analyzing them and scrutinizing them. I watched the straight down the middle, what do they call it? The serviette, the packet, the vignette, the... It was some type of name for a 26-minute video where they interview all the people. And that was very well done. Great job, Zach. And I don't know if Greg goes to help you with those, but good job also, Greg, if you're on that. I thought they did a really great job on that. And I enjoyed watching that. And actually, after watching that full 26-minute one and seeing way more game flow, more animations, hearing about the mechs, hearing about the modes, I was even more impressed by the game. So it's like, you can't just go off, like, I know a lot of people saw that spoiled video this morning that came out for a minute that had no sound, no callouts, no explanations, low quality. You can't go by that stuff. And that's why I hate, and I ask people not to send me spoilers. If you listen to this right now, I'm just like Keith Elwin. I don't like scoops. Don't send me any spoils. I don't want to know what the next pin is. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to talk about it. I'm the only pinball podcaster that hasn't talked about Toy Story, I feel like, so far. Okay. Everyone else has talked about it. I've never even mentioned it on another show. I probably have, but I've tried not to. I've tried not to mention it. So it's not just that the animations are great, but I kind of squeeze these together. I cheated a little. Okay. I put it together like a little grilled cheese sandwich. Okay. I squished it all in there and the cheese in the middle. So the animations are the sandwich, but the cheese in the middle is those callouts. Oh my God. I was listening to them talk about how they got Jim Hanks, Tom Hanks' brother, to do the callouts. And wow, like he sounded identical. And I've seen every Tom Hanks movie. I'm his biggest fan. I'm probably on his stalker level list because I text him when I'm drunk late at night and I just say, Tom Hanks, if you won't call me, can you please just get your brother Jim to call me so I can pretend I'm talking to you? Because that's how much I love you, Tom. All right. I don't really text Tom, but if you fell for it, I'm being a little silly. I'm a little bit tired. It's been a very long day. The power went out. There's other stuff going on. So I'm being a little silly, but, I loved the callouts. I liked the callouts, but, and Tim Allen, every day when I came home, you know, I would watch Home Improvement. I don't know if that was grade 7 or something. And I'm Al Borland. And then people would start calling me Al Borland. Please don't do that. That's one of the reasons why people can't call me Al. It's because Al Borland and Al from Married with Children. So don't call. You can call me Bert. You can call me Albert. You can call me Orby. You can call me Alcha. You can call me Fishhead. I don't know. There's some other weird stuff people call me over the years. You can even call me A-hole. But don't, whatever you do, don't ever call me Al or Late for Dinner. All right. So call outs are incredible. The Little Bo Peep chick was pretty good as well. I guess she's also on this. There's extra stuff by her on the CE. If you're a Bo Peep fan, you're probably into that, but they would have got me with the extra Tim Allen or the extra Jim Hanks stuff. I'm sorry. Bo's awesome. I just don't know who that person is in real life. So I'm like less interested in it, but it's still nice that they added that. It was very nice that they added that. All right. Number four. And I just wrote here in my little notes, I like to do little notes before I start or else I sometimes get lost in thought. So you guys are well aware. Is girls. And here's the thing. I've been probably the biggest person calling out pinball companies for only doing dad rock bands, dad metal bands, old dad themes. I kind of, you know, made fun of Munster's Hard for that theme being like, even that, like even my stepdad, who's like I'm 41. Even my stepdad who, you know, I'm trying to remember, like right now he's maybe 62, like even he was watching reruns of that, like when he was younger, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, you know, you'd have to get to someone like my great grandpa's age to have seen the original, like it's just so many generations ago. And it's what I basically call a dead brand. Now, was it funny stuff for back then? Sure. Was it revolutionary at the time? Yeah. Can I still watch it and think it's kind of funny? Sure. But like, anyone listening to this pinball podcast probably only saw it on reruns or reruns of reruns with like their grandpa when they were over there one time. Like they, you know, so what I was saying is that we need younger brands. We need vibrant brands. We need brands that are still alive. But most importantly, we need to start getting pinball machines that are accessible to women. And 99% of the pinball machines, like many of them that are super duper sexist, like I've said about Elvira before, and like, you know, just like Baywatch with Pam Anderson's jugs almost falling out of the front. And even Bride of Pinbot is super over-sexualized. Just imagine you as a dude, if every pinball machine you went to and it was just all about naked men and making jokes about how big their doink is and just sexual innuendo about men, would you be like, I really don't know if I just want to spend all day playing machines about naked or almost scantily clad men getting more, you know, just all the jokes. Think of all the jokes Elvira makes, especially on the old one about balls and blah, 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 blah. Like no woman is going to want to, I'm very few women, even if I, you know, would want to actually just sit there and have to deal with just blatant sexual, like overselling to enjoy themselves playing a pinball machine. Now I get that's Elvira's whole brand. So I'm not telling them they can't do that. It's fine to have Elvira games, but we also need games that not just women, but girls, younger women. When I say girls, I don't mean like older, you know, I'm sure a lot of women will like this, but especially younger women, like the girl they showed in the video from Jersey Jack, right? That's their target market. There's never been a game aimed towards, even Hot Wheels arguably is aimed towards like, you know, young, like, you know, boys maybe in the 5 to 15 age category or 5 to 12 age category that watch that Hot Wheels animated classic on YTV, and they, you know, they still buy Hot Wheels and they would be interested if Hot Wheels was like the Happy Meal toy. I always think about the Happy Meal toy. If it was a Happy Meal toy, would kids be happy? Kids would be very happy with a Hot Wheels Happy Meal toy. Kids would be very happy with like a Scooby-Dooby. They did Scooby-Dooby last year. They did DC last year. They've done Marvel. No kid would want a Munster's Happy Meal toy. If you went to McDonald's, would you like a No, they would love an Avengers one. They would love a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles one. That's not a dead brand. So that's how I always think, is this a dead brand? Well, wow. If they did a Toy Story Happy Meal, especially featuring like Bo Peep and a lot of the prominent women that are in it, even the one villain is a girl, right? This is just a lot more centered towards what girls would like. So if you think of the last like 15 pinball machines to come out and you put them along a wall and you put Toy Story there and you had girls from say age, I don't know, like when can you start playing pinball, 4 or 5 until girls age like 12, 13, maybe even 14, around 15, probably maybe not so much into Toy Story, but you know what I mean? If you were to ask them, which pinball machine would you like to play? Maybe one or two of them would say, yeah, I think Avengers or Ninja Turtles. But more than not, most of them would probably go towards Toy Story, especially the younger ones. And what have we always been saying in pinball? We want more younger players. We don't want pinball lost for future generations. How do we get more people into pinball? Well, maybe we start targeting 50% of the world that are women instead of just completely passing them by and getting them, you know, either sexist machines or just about dad rock or just about, like, honestly, male-centric themes for the most part, right? Anyways, I don't want to go too far on that category, but I just think as a whole, we need to concentrate more on getting younger people into it, especially girls, because there's not a lot of themes that get girls interested. And this brings me into number five. And I think I've left the biggest and what I believe is the best for the end. I really, really, really have. Number five is that this is great for the pinball industry as a whole, because not only just for the operators, I think the operators are going to make bang. I'll put like 10 bucks on it or buy you a beer at the show if Toy Story is not one of the best earners in places, if not the best earner maybe ever in a place like Dave and Buster's, in a Chuck E. Cheese, in any type of theme park, in any type of place where kids have birthday parties, in any type of place that's even like the kiddie casinos that have the coin ops, in any place, even like a Playdium here in Canada, which has, you know, large arcades, in any place actually that allows children to play pinball at it. Okay. In any place that's just not a bar that you have to be 19 to go to, I actually think Toy Story. Now, of course, you're not going to probably put a $15,000 CE out on the floor. Probably going to get the $12,000 one. But although it's $12,000, I think you would make your money back incredibly quick. But it's not the money going into the operator's pockets that I'm personally concerned with, even though I think that was one of Pat Lawler, the god's goals. He's made however many, you know, coin-operated machines. He knows how to get coins into machines. This particular machine will help introduce, and I did talk on the women and the girl part, but more importantly, this will just... Or maybe say equally as important, this will bring in a much, much, much younger crowd. And also, this will bring in brand new dads and brand new moms, because you're going to have a lot of kids who are going to play that once or twice and love it and say, how can I play it more? Where can I get it? Or there's going to be so much new blood into pinball, or just either their kids or themselves. There is adult super fans. I used to even have like an NFT style app that was officially run. I think it's run by Topps for Disney, and the adults in there were crazy. I had to leave because if you didn't agree to do a certain trade for a card they wanted, they would just freak out and get mad at you and everything. And people would always be trading you their hockey, their baseball cards. They were all run by Topps, hockey, baseball, Marvel, as well as Star Wars. They're all run by Topps. You can just type Topps card trader and into any, you know, I don't know if they have it for iPhone, but for Google, and you'll see all these different apps, and you'll see the Disney one, and the people in the Disney one are nuts, and they're mostly adults from what I can tell from talking to them. What it seems like, it's primarily adults. And so there is Disney people that are crazy, and we're going to be bringing a whole new audience into pinball. I really do think you're going to see these in Disney World, which is going to help. I just overall, I will get into the one bad because we're down to like a minute left, but I like that we're going to be introducing young people. I like that it's also a very inclusive pin for girls and boys, men and women, families to play. If I had younger kids and I could afford one, I would seriously consider buying it because Pat Lawler's a god. Now, everyone get out there and say sorry for being so mean to everyone at Jersey Jack. They're just humans too. What about Ken Cromwell just sitting there having a craft beer, crying, reading Pinside? He's like, I thought the machine was good. Like, what's wrong with people? Okay, but I will talk about that. I'm just kidding, Ken. I know you're not that sensitive. Even though I will say that the video you're talking about how to get the CE did sound like, I feel like I was listening to like a funeral director. You seemed very sad in that one. Seemed better in the vignette or whatever it was by Straight Down the Middle. But the one bad thing that I didn't like was I don't like how big the screen is. I don't mind that they have a mini play field. I prefer that the mini play field was actually, you know, pinball, because we're trying to get younger people into more pinball, not into more digital stuff. And I really, really, really think that you could have had a cool game. If you made an actual replica of the Toy Story 4 bar tiki, whatever game it was, if you made an actual replica and put that in there, and someone's going to mod that, I think. And if you actually did that, think about how freaking rad that would have been. But instead, we get this big honking screen. I think it's too big. The implementation looks kind of cool, but I do think it's a bit big. And that would be my only negative. And maybe possibly the pricing's too high. But again, I'm not in there to buy it. I don't love the red on the CE. So if you're only in there to get an LE, good for you because you can still afford it. Everybody go watch J Hall Sucks at Pinball, S-U-X at Pinball on Twitch. I'm going to be going on there now. Can't wait to talk more about Toy Story. Going to go make myself some poutine to eat during it. It should be interesting. Everybody, I love you. Thank you for all the support. If you want to buy some coffee to help thank me for doing 500 episodes, simply go over to Angry Alpaca or Pinball Nerds Podcast and click the shop now or send me a message. Until next time, Pinball Nerds, remember to eat, sleep, and breathe. Pinball Nerds Podcast, Pinball.